Have you heard of a cookbook club? What do they do and how does it work? Well, that's what we're talking about today. We have a guest that's going to tell us all about it. Hello, and welcome to the 73rd episode of the Happy Hostess Podcast, where we take even the most frazzled hostess and turn them into a confident and happy hostess. I'm your host, Christy Lalonde, and today we're learning all about this fun idea and way to build a community called a cookbook club. But before we get into that, I would like to give a big shout out to Patricia at the Preppy Podcast for leaving a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. She said, "Love to hear from Christy and her guests. I love hearing each week new tips for entertaining. Christy and her guests are so knowledgeable at every comfort level of entertaining." Thank you so much, Patricia. This means the world to me because Patricia is the host of the Preppy Podcast, and it's one of my absolute favorites. She has been a big inspiration to me over the past few years, and I'm so grateful for her encouragement. If you haven't heard the Preppy Podcast, it's all about the preppy lifestyle brands and their creators. I love listening to it, and you probably will too. So I'll leave a link in the show notes so you can check it out. So for today's topic, if you follow me on Instagram, you may have heard me talk about wanting to do a deep dive review on a cookbook. And I've been asking for all of you to give me suggestions on which cookbook to choose. On next week's episode, I'll be going into detail what that's going to look like. But while I've been planning this deep dive review, I realized that it's really just an expansion or another version of a cookbook club. And the only cookbook club that I've ever experienced has been with my sweet friend, Holly Hires. And it was so much fun that I realized Holly is the one who truly inspired me to create this series. And so I wanted to have her come on here and share about her experiences with her cookbook club and how it's built community with her friends. I'm thrilled to have her as a guest. I met her a couple of years ago in Birmingham, and she is genuinely one of the sweetest souls I've ever met. I'm so excited for you to meet her. Holly, I am so glad that you're here with us today. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hi, Christy. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It's going to be so much fun. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself so they can get to know you?
Well, absolutely. So first off, I want to say that I'm so excited to be here. And this podcast is one of my favorite parts of the week. So it's truly an honor. But a little bit about me is I currently live in Alexandria, Virginia, which is right outside of Washington, D.C. with my lovely husband of 5.5 years. I've been in the D.C. metro area for about 8.5 years, which is the longest I've ever been in my entire life. I grew up beat-bopping around, moving from Oklahoma to Texas to Chicagoland area, Northwest Arkansas, and back to Oklahoma. My dad was in the ministry and also worked in the baking industry. So we moved for his jobs throughout the years. But a constant for me was Oklahoma City, where my entire extended family lived, and my family actually now lives there. So I grew up every summer for multiple weeks with my grandparents, which I truly loved. My Nana was known for her down-to-earth cooking, could whip up anything and everything, could open up the cabinet and just pick out a few ingredients, and it'd be the best thing you ever had. There was always food everywhere, all the time, for everyone and anyone. And then my grandma, my dad's mom, was the early adopter of the microwave meal. She couldn't cook, did not like to cook, but her eye for design was impeccable. Her table was set 24/7. I never saw it not set. And both of them truly formed the way that I operate today. And then my family being in the ministry for a few years also heavily influenced me with the thank you parties, the welcomes, the drop-bys, the big events, the small events, appreciations, all of those things. And one thing that my mom did that I continue on every time I host is that whenever you come into my house, you leave with something. And it can be anything from a thank you gift to a container of leftovers to handwritten notes, anything. Just please don't leave my house empty-handed. Mm-hmm. And so I just love the gathering process and connecting and the process of welcoming others. And whether big or small, casual or fanciful, they all have a place. And I truly love each part. And so that's where I am currently. I live in a very transient city. And so people typically live in this area for 2 or 3 years. And so one of the things that I try to do is connect people and try to live a open-handed and welcome lifestyle. And so that's a little bit about me.
Well, Washington, D.C. is lucky to have you. Let me tell you, I don't know. I've never known anyone that lived there, like you said, more than like a year. So it's interesting to see. I love seeing all your posts about the Capitol pictures and, you know, what it looks like in the fall and in the spring. And it's just so, so interesting of an idea of, to me, to live in the Capitol city year round.
Truly is magical in every way is the best way that I can explain it. And it's also like, it's a very type A city. So people are going from place A to place B very quickly. And it's one of those things of I get to be here and take my time and enjoy all the museums and all the things that the city has to offer. And it's a beautiful place. So many little treasures that people didn't even know about. And so it's one of my favorite things to share too. It's a magical place to be. And I love it with all my heart and will forever love DC no matter where I end up.
Well, what about when you were younger? You lived so many places. What was your favorite place?
That's a great question. I loved my childhood. We were outside of Chicago in a town called Wheaton in Warrenville, Illinois. And I just remember taking the train to go see my dad in his office at the time. And I loved the city life. And then when we moved to the not-so-city suburbs of little towns in Oklahoma and Arkansas, I liked it and it was nice, but I always loved that city feeling. And then I always loved DC and the history of it all, just the nature of it. And so I came out to DC and one summer after college to intern here and fell in love. And so just decided to go back to Oklahoma where my parents were and saved up all my money that I could for a year and just moved out here without a job or without a plan, but just knew that I wanted to be here because I loved the city so much.
Wow. Oh my goodness. You are brave. Very
brave. I was,
brave.
Yes. I would say I probably wouldn't recommend that now in my life. And my husband and I talk about it frequently, but it's one of those times as a 23-year-old, I really wanted to do it. So I just set out and thoroughly enjoyed it. So it's the best place that I could have landed, honestly. So I'm excited.
I think God just moved you there because I can't imagine being brave enough to do that. And especially, honestly, at 23, for me, at least for me. Now, you did meet your husband there, didn't you?
I did. I met him actually on quite frankly, really quick after I moved here. And I had never dated anyone before in my life. And so I think I freaked my parents out when I was like, oh, I met this guy. And they were like, what? And then he's from this area. And so, yeah, he was the first person that I've ever dated, ever kissed, everything like that. So it was meant to be. And it was actually found him before I found my job. And the Lord was just super gracious to me and found a church really quickly here. And I'll never forget, I go to a church called Triumph DC here in the district. And I, one Sunday morning, was like, woke up and was like, I need to find a church. I don't know where to look. And I Googled, I Yelped, and there was one that was close to me that I believed in. And so I walked in and the preacher was preaching on home. And I just felt like the Lord told me, like, this is your home. And I've never left it since because it's just been like this overwhelming peace. And honestly, the Lord's been so, so gracious and faithful to me throughout the years. I'm incredibly grateful.
Oh, that is a sweet, sweet story. I didn't know that, especially, I think it's interesting that you met your husband before even you got your job.
Right. Yeah. And so there was times where I thought I might have to move back and was like, I don't know if I can make it. And the Lord prevailed. And then I got to marry him a few years later and we've been together since.
Oh, that is a precious story. I did not know all those details. I love it. Now, I know that you, for sure, that you enjoy entertaining. Like you said, you do a little bit of it all, but what's your favorite way to entertain? What do you enjoy the most?
That's a great question. I would say I thoroughly love throwing a huge party, like get together at least once a year. My husband and I do a annual Memorial Day party on Memorial Day itself. So we do that Monday night and we invite everyone that we know. And so this year we've sent out our invitations already a little early, but already have multiple people coming. Last year, it was a rainy Monday. We still had 85 people show up to it. And then at the year before, still had quite a few. Started out at 30 and has just been incrementally growing. And so I love that because then it gives me, I have something all year to look forward to and plan and order napkins and order plates throughout the year. But I also just love the casual, hey, you want to come over for brunch tomorrow? Or you want to come over for a movie night? Those are also some of my favorite things to do. And then we, like Kevin and I, my husband and I, constantly have people over at least once a week we try to aim for, which I thoroughly enjoy, whether it's game night, movie night, anything like that. So I love both. So I really do enjoy the large one to give me something to look forward to all year and plan out all the small details, get really nitty gritty into the thank yous and into the special touches. But I also really love the last minute, hey, you want to come over tonight? Or, hey, my husband's working late and I have nothing to do. Do you want to go for a walk? I love those too.
And those type of things are actually what makes it easy to entertain often, because it's really difficult to say, hey, let's plan something every single week. Right. It would get canceled, you know, like something would come up or whatever. But being open to last minute invitations or inviting people at the last minute is such a good way to make sure that you're building community and getting to know others.
Very true. Very true. It really helps in every way.
Well, why don't we talk about, why don't you describe a cookbook club for us, since that's what we wanted to talk about today?
Sure thing. So I host an online cookbook club, an online virtual cookbook club. And I started out in 2022 with this. I was really struggling with community. Like I said earlier, I live in a very transient area. The average person lives here a year, 2 to 3 years max. And when COVID hit, the city just and surrounding areas just were deserted. A lot of my close friends, neighbors, coworkers were no longer here. And 2022 was also the year a dream of mine came true. And I got to meet Amy Hannon of Una Maize at an event at her previous shop that she's now closed in Northwest Arkansas. I bought tickets for my mom and I to meet up and go there for Mother's Day. And I got to share a tangible experience with my mom at the time with a person who I looked up to in cooking and in the kitchen and hospitality as well. And so I was really trying to get my mom into more cooking and see how easy and good it could be. And at the same time, I was trying to get a baking club going with some friends. And it was really a struggle for me, Christy, to get the schedules all aligned. And then I had a friend who really wanted to be a part of it, but she had moved to Texas. So I was like, oh, we could maybe Zoom and cook together. But even that timeline, just it was just really hard to plan. And I was like, there has to be a better way. And so, and at the same time, I was trying to start the baking club. I was also trying to get my mom to go through this cookbook with me that we had gotten from Amy Hannon. And so I was like, hey, you know what? Actually, let's just all put this online and we can just streamline this and invite whoever wants to be a part of it. And so thus the cookbook club was born virtually. And it's pretty easy, simple. We get together once a cookbook. I pick out a few recipes, try to put them together and send out the grocery list and send out some quick tips and tricks for as well. And then on the third, and it typically runs about 6 weeks. And then on the third and sixth week, we'll try to get a Zoom together to see who is doing it with us, how they're doing, how they're feeling, what they've learned, what they liked, what's working. Because that's the thing about cooking and hospitality too, is like what works for one person may not work for another. People can share ideas, and that's where community is actually born, is the sharing of ideas and experiences. And so I really wanted to cultivate that. So that's how I started. That's why I started. And that's what a cookbook club is. It's as little as much as you want it to be. So some people go all in and cook the entire cookbook. Some people just cook the recipes that we picked those weeks. Some people just pick and choose one recipe here, one recipe there. Some people don't join the Zoom. Some people just like to message me. And some people do everything every week. And it's a really fun way to get to know people, get to know what's doing well for them and what they like and what they enjoy and how they can share with others as well.
Well, just so the listeners know, I've been a part of Holly's Cookbook Club online, and she makes it super easy. Like she said, she gives us the shopping list and that sort of thing. You know, it really does make a difference to be able to have something already done for you so that you don't have one more excuse to be like, oh, I don't have time to do this this week. You know, it really is enjoyable. And you said you were trying to do a baking club. Mm-hmm. So have you ever it sounds like you have obviously done some form of this in person, but have you ever done a cookbook club in person?
Not to the full extent of what we do virtually, but like I said, I tried to do a baking club where we got together to do recipes together, but it just never, the timeline just never panned out. And just the consistency of who could come, who couldn't come, it just never really worked out. So that's as much as part of an in-person one that I've been a part of.
And were you doing the same idea of like trying recipes and that sort of thing? Was that your intention with the baking club?
Just trying to get together and one of my intentions with this is just trying to do something new. It's something out of the box. I feel like most of my friends and I, and including my family, my mom and my sister, we get stuck in a rut of what's easy. I have tacos every Tuesday. I have our go-to meals that my husband and I make every week. And that's just what we get in the habit of doing. And sometimes I just want to be creative, but I don't know where to start. And so trying someone else's recipes. And some of the times the hardest thing is to find one, because then I get overwhelmed on Pinterest of, oh, there's so many good ones. I want to try them all. And then I get overly ambitious and print them all out. And like, I'm going to do it all this week. And then I start going and I'm like, oh, I never actually do it. And so that's what the baking club was for, was trying to get creativity, trying to pick out some recipes that we can all tackle together and move from there.
And you kind of have built-in accountability, right. not to put it off, because I am the exact same way. I am, wait till you're older. You're still so young, but I seem to like make the same thing over and over and over again, unless I am planning for a party.
Right.
And then I want to try something. I'm like, oh, I'm inspired, you know?
Yes. But then like you say this too in your podcast before, like sometimes you plan for a party and you're like, oh, I'm going to try this. And then you try it right before the party rather than trying it a few weeks ahead of time. And so this also gives you that oomph to try it ahead of time and learn what works and what doesn't work for your
right.
party to be inspired at a later date.
Yes, there's been several a recipe that didn't make it because I didn't make it ahead of time before the party that I planned to make it for. And so I didn't want to risk it.
But right.
Now, you mentioned that you used Amy Hannon's book in your first cookbook club online. And I know you've had some since then. So how do you pick which book you're going to feature for your club?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. So Amy Hannon started because I went to her store and just really wanted to get my mom into it and get some friends who hadn't heard of her before into it after. And then I would say the next one I did was Pizzazzery. I followed her for years on Instagram. I love her stuff and what she does. Her recipes are 10 out of 10 and just the fun and the quality of parties that she does as well. And I was talking to some friends and I just felt like everyone knew her because I knew her and was talking to some friends and they had no idea. And so just like, okay, well, let's do her cookbook and share the wealth, share the knowledge and just go for it. And so it was one of those of, I was just obsessed with her at the time and her recipes and was working on a Derby Day thing. And I had a few of her recipes that I was using for there. And the person asked me, so it just went from there. And then the following years, it was just, again, some people that I knew, like one person that we're going to do this year is Cindy Kane and do her cookbook. And then a couple others that some people have talked about and I haven't even gone through until I was picking out the recipes and testing it ahead of time, Erin French. And then Ina Garten just released a new cookbook last year. And so I haven't been able to go through it. And so this also gives me the accountability, like you were saying earlier, of I want to go through it. So let's pick it for Cookbook Club. And so we can actually be accountable to this and do this with others and make it fun.
Yeah, it's so interesting that, like, obviously, I feel like everyone has heard of Ina Garten, hopefully, I would think, if they're interested in cooking, I mean. But it is interesting that your friends didn't know who Courtney was with Pizzazzery. And because when you introduced me to Amy Hannon, I had not ever heard of her. And once I looked at her Instagram and her cookbooks and everything. I'm like, how could I have not have heard of her? Like, that is shocking to me because she's so big. And so I'm so glad that you did because her recipes are incredible.
Truly top notch.
So that's fun that some of the people are, and I can't imagine them, you know, not knowing who Courtney is either. So it's really fun to be able to watch other people get to enjoy the same people that you do.
Exactly. And it's also one of those things of, I've been using the recipes quite often for years and then seeing other people and hearing their feedback of, oh my goodness, that was the best sausage ball that I've ever had. Or, oh, that cake was delicious and I've never had anything like it. Or even the shortcuts that some of them take. And they're like, I didn't know that you could do this. And I get so excited and overjoyed and delightful to hear when they have that feedback too.
Yes, it is so fun to hear other people's enjoyment. And so, why don't you tell them kind of like your general format for your meetings that you have? I know you mentioned briefly that you send them the shopping list and that sort of thing, but let's let them know a little bit more specifically, like by week, by meeting, like kind of what goes on.
Yeah. So typically Cookbook Club spans a 6-week period. And so I pick out two recipes that kind of go with each other or can go with each other for a meal or an event and send two recipes a week for those 6 weeks. So you typically go through 12 recipes, sometimes a little bit more if there's like an appetizer or even a drink included. And then each week I send out an email with the list of ingredients that's needed with the page numbers to the cookbook. That's another thing is I don't provide the recipes themselves. People have to buy the cookbooks and find the page and then go along with from there. Typically, we have a meeting, a Zoom meeting on the 3rd week and the 6th week during the cookbook club. And the 3rd week is a Zoom for anyone who's in the midst of it, needs help or wants to share what they're learning, what's working, what's not working, something new that they've tried. Sometimes, like we said earlier, as we get in the ruts of what we're doing and forget that there are other types of meals out there and there are other types of cuisines out there. And so sometimes these cookbook clubs can get you into a new variety that you haven't been in. So people like to share about that or share stories that they've had from their childhood and how this incites memories for them. And then the 6th week is just a recap of everything and get to hear from everyone and how they did and what they enjoyed and what they're going to do from there and what they're going to incorporate into their weekly lives and homes and what they can share with others as well. And so that's a little bit about the format. So it's a 6-week period, typically 2 recipes a week, and then a Zoom meeting to gather and chat on the 3rd and 6th week of those.
And it is interesting just how everyone meeting on Zoom, it really does create a sense of community because you all have something in common. You all have been experiencing something in common or learning maybe something. And I love also that you always gave us good tips about the recipes because it's almost like we've already had the opportunity to make it once because you were giving us good tips. Like, you know how the first time you make a recipe, you always wish maybe you'd done something a little different or it was so nice having that experience beyond just even the cookbook author's experience, having yours and then us be able to build on that as well.
Mm-hmm. And just, again, like you said, the community aspect of it. And you go through this shared experience with it. And so being able to even talk about that and communicate it, or even see someone smile when they talk about a salad, a Cobb salad, that a different way that they've ever made it before with a special ranch sauce. They've never made ranch sauce from scratch. And someone's like, oh, I have done this my entire life. And here's some tips and tricks from my grandma that I learned. I had that happen the last time. And it was incredible. And it was so fun. And it's fun to see them connect and then they become friends after as well. It's one of the items that brings such joy to my life.
So what are your plans in the immediate for your cookbook club?
Yep. So we are currently in the process of about to release in the next couple of weeks, a cookbook club for the spring summer. And so we're going through the Erin French cookbook. And then later on, we'll be going through the Cindy Kane and Anna Garden cookbook as well. And so it's one of those things too. I know that timelines are crazy. So Cookbook Club, it, like I said earlier, it's as little or as much as you want it to be. So you can pick and choose what you like. It's just a chance to try something new. And so we're going to go through those cookbooks over the next couple months.
Well, those sound like some very good books. And is this open to everyone, or do you like hand invite people?
It's open to everyone. And so at first it was just people that I knew, but then my mom's friends wanted to be involved, and then my friend's friends. And then I shared it on Instagram, and since some people wanted to join. So I just created an email list from there. So if people want to join, they can go to my Instagram, and the link in my bio has the direct sign up for the emails to be included on the next book club.
We will be sure to put that link in the show notes, so that if anyone's interested, they can learn more about it. I think you'll definitely have some people interested after hearing all the details.
It's a fun time. I'm excited. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yes. So I like to ask everyone, what does hospitality mean to you?
You know, hospitality is a place of welcome, openness, and caring. It doesn't have to be necessarily entertaining, which a lot of people associate it with. It can be taking food to a friend, having an unexpected visitor, sending a DoorDash gift card when someone's sick, a friendly thinking of you text, making people feel truly seen, heard, and loved. That is hospitality at its core.
And what are some tips that you have that help foster that hospitality and welcoming people into your home?
Yeah. So one thing that I try to do is I try to think through someone's perspective when they come into my home. Where are they coming from? Are they coming from work? Do they need a minute? Do they need to decompress? Do they know where to take off shoes, where to put their stuff down, the details of it all? And so I try to walk through and be a beginner in my own home to see things how they would see and the perspective of them. And so try to accommodate that. So when someone comes into my home, it's an awkward little few steps up. And so I try to meet them at the door and then usher them into the room, up the steps, and then hug them there and then offer them water, a drink, or take their coat if it's the winter time, and show them if they want to take off their shoes, they can. If they want to keep them on for comfort, that's fine too. But I tell them ahead of time and try to not make them ask anything. I try to just give all the information ahead of time. And so that's one thing that I try to do, is just try to think of it through their perspective and then be prepared with questions that they might have that I would have if I were walking into the home myself.
I've never heard anyone describe it that way. I really love that you focus on experiencing things from their perspective so that you can think ahead and kind of see what they'll need ahead of time. That is truly the definition of hospitality for sure.
Right. And it's also one of those things, it can be a little awkward going into someone's home. I think of, I tense up because I don't want to offend or step on anyone's toes. And so, but if someone explains it to me ahead of time or in the moment with them, it makes it feel so much more welcoming and so much more homey, like, oh, this could be my home too. And also I have a little fun tidbit is that I have one bathroom. I live in a two-story home and it's on the second floor, and the bathroom doesn't lock. And so when we have our large parties, that's the first thing I tell every single person as they come in, like, I'm really sorry, the bathroom does not lock. So here's the house rule. The bathroom door is shut. And so just like telling them that over and over. And so, and then it becomes like a little game, but it's something that they can expect. So when, and they're not surprised by it when they go up the stairs. So it's a fun moment.
That is fun. Kind of a little icebreaker.
Right, truly.
get people comfortable. Now, what do you do to keep stress to a minimum when you're entertaining?
Yeah, so I try to plan ahead as much as possible. But then, and my husband will attest to this, is I can be a little stressful sometimes as I'm planning and trying to think through it. But then I have a rule for myself. Once the time comes, once the first guest steps through my screen door, I just let it be. Everything will happen as it should happen. I know everything is not going to be perfect. Something is going to happen. Something always happens. And so I just tell myself, smile, laugh, and enjoy. The hiccups can actually become some of the greatest aspects of it as well. And so just knowing that something will happen and we can move on from there, and those create those connections of enjoyment and laughter as well.
That's so true. And that leads me directly into my next question that I ask everyone, is that, like you said, we all have hiccups when it comes to entertaining. And so do you want to share any of those? Because sometimes they can be really good stories.
They can be. Can I actually share two?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
So one that comes to my mind is from growing up, I was actually influenced by this, and this created my mentality of everything happens and it's okay. It was actually an Easter lunch at my aunt and uncle's. They were in the kitchen cooking and we had a bunch of people over. So we were all chatting. And then all of a sudden we just smelled smoke and heavy smoke. And turns out the sweet potato casserole was on fire.
Oh, gosh.
Flames, everything. Everything was happening. It was chaotic for a minute. And I will never forget like my aunt and uncle like being serious, but also like laughing it off. And my aunt telling my uncle as he was like getting the fire extinguisher, I was like, no, we can save it. We can save it. And so he put out the fire. And then she just looked at the casserole, scooped off the top, and sure enough, it was still served and it was a delicious casserole. And so I just remember like laughing. I still have pictures of it. I revisit it in that moment, and it's just the pure chaos and joy, but also like, hey, it's okay. And like we moved on and it was still a great, delicious meal. And so that really influenced me in the best way. And so I kind of take that with me. And like I said, everything is not going to be perfect, but it's still going to be great. And we all still laugh about it to this day. And so the sweet potato casserole, you never know what could have happened to it. It could have been on fire, huge flames a few minutes before.
So funny. I'm surprised it didn't smell like smoke. That's why I thought you wouldn't be able to eat it. Like there would be a smoke smell, but I guess it wasn't as on fire as long.
No, we caught it pretty bad, but I remember the flames being large. I was shocked by how large they were, but it all turned out great. And then my next one was actually, I'm a baker, and so I love baking, but when I first got into my tiny 350 square foot apartment in DC, I had a quarter of the normal size oven, and so I was just very excited. I was invited to a church potluck, and I was like, I'm going to make brownies, and I hadn't used the oven yet, and so I got a glass Pyrex. I was very excited. It fit in the oven, and that was my main priority. A little 8x8, it barely fit in the oven. And I had a brain malfunction, Christy, and I forgot that when it came out, prick it with a toothpick. And instead, I just looked at the bottom of the glass and was like, oh, yeah, it's done. And didn't think of anything of it. Well, it turns out that, you know, the outside bakes first and then the inside.
Oh.
So I put it out at the dessert table. And at the end of the night, I never went back to the dessert table. At the end of the night, I go to pick up my pan. And Christy, it was so embarrassing because I had two pieces were taken on the ends. But then it was just pure lava in the center. And I was mortified. I was absolutely mortified. My boyfriend at the time, now husband, Kevin, I was like, Kevin, no one can know this was me. No one can know. I'm like, grabbed it quickly and just ran out the door. And it's like funny now because I became like the baker of the church and I bake cupcakes and cakes all the time. And I obviously shared that with people after the fact, but I was truly, genuinely mortified, but people still like enjoy my baking and enjoy from there. So everything can turn out. It's a fun story at the end of the day.
It is. And it's so funny that you end up becoming the baker of the church, basically. Right. That is so funny. That's what I was wondering immediately. Is like, was your name on it? Did people know?
No, no one knew. And then I truly was mortified and said, no one can know. I did not tell anyone for at least 3.5 years.
Oh, gosh.
And no one asked either. So,
well, that's funny. And it is funny too, that things that were mortifying at the time, like now you volunteer to tell people.
Right. Because <know?
laughs> it's never as bad as we think, because it's just a funny, memorable moment.
Now that they know that I freak out. Right.
All right. And before we get to our speed round, I always ask also, what's the one piece of advice that you'd give the new hostess that's just getting started?
Right. I would say, honestly, just start, push through the awkwardness. Most people just want to be invited and seen. And so a simple welcome is more than enough. Just opening up your home, having someone over, or even if you can't have someone over at your house, invite them to coffee, invite them on a walk. That's hospitality, that's hosting. And so having a few things prepared I always have conversation starters in the back of my head and pull them out whenever it's time. And it's okay to sit in silence for a minute, to let someone think, to let someone process, but just start. It's going to change your life and it's going to be the best that you've ever experienced.
That is great advice. And I especially like the conversation starters, thinking of those ahead of time, because I'm kind of an introvert. So
me too, thoroughly.
Those things don't come super naturally to me. So that is great idea.
Which is why I had to lock onto something, because I was like, otherwise I'm just not going to talk and I'm okay with silence. But I know not everyone is okay with silence. I was like, let me see if I can do this. So I found some conversation starters a few years ago. And so just have a few in the back of my head. And then some of my friends now, we have questions of the week. And so we have those as well that we share with one another.
Oh, that is fun. Very good idea. Well, we are at our speed round part. Are you ready?
I'm ready or not. Here we go.
All right. Well, do you have a go-to appetizer?
Ooh, yes, I do. So I love my olive cheese balls that I make with my mom. And then I also love lemon pepper over goat cheese with crackers.
Oh, yum. That sounds so good. Do you have a food that you hate?
My husband is obsessed with sardines right now.
So oh, gosh.
I would say probably sardines. I can't do it. I applaud him, but I just cannot.
I'm with you on that. What's the favorite place that you've traveled?
Oh, that's a great question. I would probably say Strasbourg, France. We went at Christmas time and there was a Christmas market going on. And so I will always remember walking around with hot chocolate and having the best experience that I've ever had in my life. And then my husband and I escaped to Paris on the train and just walked around the city for a day. And it was glorious.
That sounds like a movie. That sounds incredible.
It was a lot of fun. However, I didn't know French. And so I did have a few panic attacks, but we made it work. And it all turned out well.
Do you have a signature baked good?
I do. I have one that's requested frequently is my white almond cupcakes. And every once in a while with a raspberry center filling.
That sounds delicious. And my last question is, what is your all-time favorite cookbook?
Oh, that's such a tough question. I love cookbooks and collect them. And so I would say I love DC and I have a special place in my heart for DC. And so I have a congressional cookbook from 2014 of a lot of former members of Congress and their wives and their spouses and their recipes. And so that's probably my go-to one. And so you have like a chocolate cake from Wyoming, and then you have this Louisiana crawdad. Like it's a wealth of knowledge and has a lot of good things in it. And it's a huge cookbook, but it's probably one of my favorites and one of my go-tos.
Those are always my favorite types. Anything where they're putting their name on it, you know that it's a good recipe.
Right. If they're, especially the people from the South too, if they put their name on it, you know that they could sell things.
That is the truth. Well, Holly, I am so glad that you came here and I'm so grateful to get to catch up with you. And I know everyone is going to want to find you on Instagram or the internet. Where can they find you?
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for having me. It's been such a delight catching up with you and talking about the Cookbook Club. And so I'm currently can be found on Instagram at Holly A. Hyers, and that's spelled H-Y-E-R-S. And my Cookbook Club sign up can also be found on my Instagram as well at Holly A. Hyers.
Wonderful. And we'll be, and again, I will link that in the show notes too, to make it easy for people. Thank you again for coming, Holly.
Thanks, Christy.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Happy Hostess Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate, and review it on your podcast app. It would mean the world to me. If you need links for anything mentioned during this episode, head over to happyhostesscollective.com and you'll find them in the show notes. A new episode comes out every Tuesday, and I can't wait for you to tune in next time. Until then, have a great week.